in six episodes is the Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, boy.
We've got to do six episodes in the next
four weeks.
Okay, let's do it.
5 weeks.
We can make that happen, maybe.
Right, probably.
Maybe.
Well, what's coming up?
What's coming up?
Nothing. Fucking life.
All right. Let's get this fucking recording over with.
All right. Do 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 do. Three stars, two stars, two stars. All right, let's go.
No, unacceptable. I might be tired and I might be miserable. I'm not.
And wearing the sweatshirt of another show. Not an Everwood, not an Everwood sweatshirt. That's a Greendale Community College sweatshirt.
My community shirt.
Was there a scene in Community where a deer was inside?
Probably.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. All right, are you recording?
Yep, been recording.
All right, here we go.
Just less and less joy.
Uh-huh.
Just, all right.
Enjoy this one tonight, Parker.
Just an obligation.
Is this like in a minor key or something?
Oh man.
Now I'm feeling it.
Uh-huh.
God, that rollingness.
All right. Welcome to Everwood.
That should have played in that last episode we just watched. Just that, just with all the janky music that was in that episode.
We had a janky music episode tonight. This week, we are discussing Everwood Never Wouldn't, right? Where I, Adam Lover, make my friends.
Eric, Ryan.
KT, Ryan.
Watch and discuss the first season of the early 2000s hit WB teen / family drama Everwood. Tonight's episode, Dear God, season 1, episode 5, brought to you by the Everwood Pinecone.
I knew it.
Everything. Your one-stop source. Your paper you need for all things Everwood. Did I get there?
I don't know.
I didn't get there. That was the whole thing.
I was definitely there at the end with you. I don't know how I got there either, but just clinging on for dear life.
just like a fir's last pine cone.
Yes. Clinging on for dear life.
You guys don't know the difference between a baked potato and a pine cone.
It wasn't a pine cone, was it?
It was a pine tree. We just talked about pine cones, so we said
pine
cones.
Wait, a baked potato and a pine tree?
I think he said pine tree.
Pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty bad. Effort must be pretty bad not to know the difference between a baked potato.
Also,
and a tree.
Yes, I thought
the same
I thought
thing.
Andy had no room to say that to him at all, seeing as he apparently doesn't know how to cook anything.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
He doesn't know the difference between a baked potato and a potato.
And a potato.
Ice cream is coffee in this week's episode.
Yeah. Hmm.
All right. Dear God, let's find the summary here. All right. After a lost deer makes the Brown's backyard its new home, Andy insists on accompanying Ephraim, who decides to help the animal find its way home to the wilderness.
I don't think we saw that deer in their backyard once.
Yeah, that's not true. It was not in the
inaccurate.
Backyard.
Meanwhile, Ephraim finally admits to Amy that he never asked his father to consider operating on her boyfriend Colin, who was in a coma, and Delia questions the existence of God. The second half of the summary No, the whole summary brought to you by IMDb user Alex. Gonna click through on Alex here, see what he's done. Plot author matching Alex. He has answered some things about hashtag Ask Jesse. That's Off the Grid with Jesse Ventura.
Sure.
Wow.
Episodes Dick Cheney, Drones, and Religious Warfare. God Created Gays update. The body can handle the truth.
This is all the Jesse Ventura stuff. What is
happening? What else did he do? He did an episode 13 Candles of Full House. Anyway, thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
We'll run into you later on.
Future guest on Everwood Never Would.
Future guest of the podcast. IMDb user Alex. Looks like he will also have written summaries for Thanksgiving episode later on.
Oh, boy.
He has got a bunch of Everwood episodes under his belt. So, or her belt. Or their belt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Alex. Are you sure? Is this just your account that you're pretending is someone else's account? I don't know.
No, I've never
IMDb
seen
user ever add Alex.
Alex Lauper. All right. Let's just fucking do this.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about episode 5, Dear God? You both made predictions last time about what this episode would be about. You thought it would be about hunting. Hunting is kind of peripherally related, for sure, in the episode, but it ends up being about little deer that Ephraim takes a shining to, not in like a sexual way. He just wants
that we know of.
Deer.
That was all off. They spent a whole night out in that woods. We did not see any of that.
Oh, jeez.
That's awful. Yeah. Everyone's fans are not going to like this podcast.
Well, then they should listen.
I'm not even going to deign to speak for the writers of Everwood. They present the story to us that we take in. I'm not going to write around the outside of it. I'm not going to presume that they did not have sex with the deer.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, you know, one of those early reviews were like summaries of the show, descriptions of the show described it as groundbreaking, and maybe maybe Everwood did for bestiality what Game of Thrones did for incest, which was make it seem totally okay.
Maybe that's what Alex meant about the doe making a home in their backyard.
What?
Making a home? What are you talking about?
In the back door?
In
their backyard.
Oh no, the deer entered somebody's backyard.
Made a home there.
Eric, it is a doe.
I know.
A deer. A female deer.
Listen.
All right. Okay. Well,
all right. And this has been Never Would.
See you next week. All right.
Hi, Parker.
Well, I don't think Parker's going to get this far. This is a little project of helping me edit.
He quit at most 10 seconds ago.
Okay, let's talk about the episode. What did you guys think? What are your thoughts, impressions? How much did you love it?
I might have to say this is like my least favorite episode because I feel like I don't have a huge impression of this.
It felt very predictable.
Yeah, like
best part was Dr. Abbott.
Of course.
Those scenes were great.
Yeah, of course.
Always the best.
I like the new newspaper character guy.
I really did like that. It was very like Norman Rockwell-y, like the way that it started.
The Everwood Pine Cone. Independent Daily Press since May 21st, 1985. The day Mr. R.F. Davenport bought what was even then an antique printing press, hell-bent on single-handedly spreading whatever small-town news there was each and every day. Everyone thought he was crazy, but 5,999 issues later, he hasn't missed a single delivery. The Everwood Pine Cone, Everwood's own bastion of journalistic integrity and chowder recipes.
Come on, kiddo. Time for bed.
Yeah, I think I know what it means to miss New York. And then I read the pine cone. You know, they might be Giants are playing Central Park in 2 hours.
I don't think you're going to make it.
That's all right. I can stay here and enjoy free skate sharpening at Walter's Ice and Laundry Rink.
in a way that was like more natural. I mean, that probably is not true, but like it didn't seem as contrived as some of the other ways it was trying to be like Norman Rockwell-y or like, you know, that old classic, like, you know, the whole thing we've talked about before with like the black man narrating and this weird thing that they've been doing. But then like this character that was so specific with his little folds, even before you knew he had OCD mm-hmm. and was a freaking patient of the doctor, like the little folds he was doing, mm-hmm. it was so precise. That actor in his maybe 5 minutes of screen time mm-hmm. was one of my favorite parts of the episode, 100%, mm-hmm. because he was awesome. He was in just such a little bit part. Mm-hmm. He was very, you knew who he was. And it was such a little character in the town. It was cool. That part of the episode definitely felt like it was coloring in the town. Like, I felt more like, oh, we're gonna get to like learn more about each individual like in the town. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. If they're as kind of quirky as that guy or, yeah, I don't know.
Heck yeah. You were referring to Davenport, right?
I don't know, but he was the newspaper guy.
I'm looking at the IMDb page.
He's one of the guilty remnant, right?
That's a Leftovers reference. This isn't a Leftovers podcast.
Leftovers, yeah, I mean, right under.
IMDb says that Davenport was played by an actor named Jeff Olson. Well done, Jeff Olson. Mm-hmm. You made an impression.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, yeah, I agree that Dr. Abbott's storyline with the Everwood Pinecone mm-hmm. article about the award that he receives was really
that was the most fun.
I have to say, I also really like the name Everwood Pinecone because it's so stupid, but it's mm-hmm. really cute. Like it's yeah. like I keep oscillating. Name. I keep going, oh, that's such a cute little name. And then I'm like, it's such a stupid name. Like somebody was like, I want to name my news. Like when I try to hop in the character's actual brain, like I want to name this newspaper the Pinecone. Like we're a Colorado community. It's the it seems so stupid, but it's so cute. Yeah, to
me, if it were like a big like
right.
town yes. paper, then mm-hmm. it would be dumb. But it's this little three-page thing.
I love that. Yeah. I really like that name. Yeah, it's very cute.
Yeah, it's a great name.
The generally speaking, the Delia and what's her face. Edna. Storyline. It's very much a way for them to just play with the like to have those characters be those characters, mm-hmm. but it didn't feel like anything fresh necessarily to me. They were just being them.
I think because I'm just not interested in somebody wondering about fucking God.
That's also
especially
true.
Like a kid and the comparison to Santa stuff. I was just like, I don't really want to watch this. That's my bias, though. That's not really fair. That's my impression. I agree with your impression of it. I just wasn't as interested. I'm like, all right. I hope that we don't have to do that.
Yeah, but right before we watched this episode, we were talking about The Good Place and The Leftovers. Sounds mm-hmm. like you were just gotted out before watching this episode.
I have been gotted out for years. You know that, Adam? You know that. But yeah, it's because we've already talked about this before, but like the, you know, it's wrapped up in the seventh heaven, you know, 90s or nope, not 90s, 2000s.
This is early 2000s, but
I always
extension
say that.
Of the late 90s.
Yeah. That's just one of the parts that I'm not mm-hmm. that impressed by or not that interested in, not impressed by, just not interested in. So, and because it was a majority of it, I'm not like, oh, this was really interesting. Yeah.
And I don't think this episode did anything particularly novel or brought anything new to the table per mm-hmm. se about that kind of basic kind of topic or storyline in a network TV show. But like Eric said, like I think that it was like just a little like a vehicle for the characters mm-hmm. to kind of
be
those characters,
and we get to know them. Maybe not like a lot more, but we get to see like who we know Delia to be and who we know Edna to be mm-hmm. kind of happen in that storyline, which is kind of fun. Like it has some fun moments of Edna like struggling with how to approach these questions that Delia has for her.
Some real interactive babysitting you got going there.
She's fine.
Then where is she?
What's she doing?
I'm not sure, but it looks like she's been doing it for a while.
Don't give me that. A babysitter's job is to make sure the kid doesn't die. That's all.
She's a kid, not a grenade.
Hey, Private. What do you say to a movie tomorrow?
My mom says she used to go to synagogue to talk to God. Could we go to one?
The nearest synagogue is 2 hours away. Maybe we could talk to God somewhere local, like a video store. We can rent The Chosen. Are you thirsty or something?
It's for God. I tried to get him to eat Nina's cookies, but that didn't work. Now I'm waiting to see if he'll knock the glass over.
Anything so far?
I even put it close to the edge, so all he had to do was knock it a little bit.
Why all this recon on God today?
I just want to know about God, because if there's no God, then there's no heaven.
And if there's no heaven...
then where's my mom?
The Chosen.
Yeah.
I'm like, a movie or something, isn't it? An executive in charge of a Middle Eastern nuclear plant discovers that his son is the Antichrist.
Yep.
That's so fucking great. That's awesome.
Like, that's, of course, I would say we can rent The Chosen.
Mm-hmm.
The other The Chosen that I guess Edna might have been referring to is from 1981. The summary is, in 1944 in Brooklyn, two Jewish kids become friends. One is from a very conservative family and the other is more liberal. The issues of importance of tradition, parental expectations, and the formation of Israel cause constant friction.
Whoa.
Thank you, Alex. IMDb user Alex. We appreciate your plot summary.
That one is from IMDb user Anonymous.
It was Alex before he felt the confidence to put his name on it.
So it's pretty clear that Edna wanted to rent the other one about the Antichrist. So. It's pretty great.
I would assume.
Yes.
So yeah, I don't know. Some fun moments there. I liked Miss Violet's little lesson on Monica. And when she was like, the Hebrews got kicked out of their land. Again,
yeah, yep.
Some fun stuff. Oh, and I like she sends the one kid, the red haired kid. She's like, "Go over and sit by the girls. There's a new can of that orange paint you like to eat."
Yes, yep.
That's great. Who is that kid? Is he in the credits?
Mom? Orange paint eater.
Orange paint eater. That's great. That's why his hair's so orange.
Oh shit. He's like a flamingo.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a great line in that little argument about God is when Megilla says to that kid, "Your dad's poor."
Yeah, I know.
What a fucking asshole.
Your dad's poor.
It's perfect. That's totally what shitty kids say.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like it has nothing to do with anything.
Yep.
But yeah, I like the teacher. She was vaguely anti-Semitic, but also very well informed.
Yeah,
or at least for whatever grade level they're at.
Yeah,
Christ, which your people don't believe in.
It's condescending as fuck, but mm-hmm. also like here's the reason. Like,
right?
She's like, this is the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cute when Delia tells Edna, "I like it when you yell at them."
It is very cute.
He said, and Edna says, "Me too."
Me too.
Right. Yep.
Her kind of explanation about religion and people talking to God said it happens more so in the South.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It is true.
And she tries to get out of it. She says, "How about I just tell you where babies come from?" She'd rather have that talk.
That's great.
Yep.
And yeah, what they, you know, she wants to take Delia to talk to a rabbi. The closest rabbi is an army rabbi. You know, it's a cute little scene. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're supposed to give a regulation Jewish answer for how you know God exists.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is not particularly helpful for Delia because it's all just theology, apologetics bullshit. Yeah, man, I don't know. Like, it brings it back down to, like, I find it kind of affecting when Delia explains earlier in the episode, like, mm-hmm. if there's no God, then like, where's my, then there's no heaven. And if there's no heaven, where's my mom?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
which I feel like is like literally verbatim so many other quotes.
That's the other thing.
So
it's
many
like,
other movies. Yeah. That's why it was right. Yeah.
Like, we know that's why you're worried about this as yeah. the viewer or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think more importantly, the sound effects when the deer was stepping on the porch and when it was,
yet.
No, I don't give a deer. Fuck. We have to talk about
we
it.
We will.
No.
That's going to be the second half of the episode is the deer sounds.
I mean, that's it. What else is there to say about other than like then the Hanukkah story gets reenacted with the gas tank and the bike, and
which was very cute.
I guess my question would be, would it be better if Edna did that on purpose? Like if she faked it,
But I don't think, yeah, I don't know.
I don't, it's implied that she did not, that they just, you know, the tank.
Cause she seems alarmed by the little girl's reaction.
Yeah.
Not alarmed, but she's like,
she's like, wait a second. I didn't mean to prove exactly, to you that God exists because I don't actually think God exists and I don't really want you to believe in God, little girl.
Right. Yeah.
That's what distinguishes this show from Seventh Heaven is that at the end, Edna still doesn't give a shit about God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is
or touched
but
by
but
an angel where an angel was pouring gas as they drove along.
Yeah. I mean, right, like it is different from Seventh Heaven, but I would argue that it's still not really, because she's, even though you have this character that's like gruff about God, she literally tells a story talking about, oh, well, me and God, like it's still assumed that she believes in God, even though it's implied that she, like you would think that you're inferring that she is an atheist or at least somebody who doesn't give a fuck, but then she tells the story and then, it's.
But, you know, she's talking to a kid, so that's just how you talk to kids. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's.
She doesn't have all the characters to talk down to a kid in that way.
She doesn't.
You would not think that she would.
Yeah, I don't think she
would. All right, so our resident atheist in Everwood is Magilla.
Yeah!
He's read all of Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens books. He's like, he's our hero.
He's our hero. Poor guy.
All right. KT is chomping at the bit to talk about the deer.
I get it.
So it's just funny.
Future guest of the podcast, Soundtrack's editor, Charles Bruce.
Oh, goodness, Charles Bruce.
Also, we've got assistant sound editor, Damon Cahoon.
Guys.
Supervising Foley mixer, Al Gomez.
No.
Sound mixer, Paul Maritzes. And assistant sound editor, Eric Moss. Charles, Damon, Al, Paul, Eric, you suck, I guess.
I was going to say, do you think that maybe it was a like take your daughter to work day and then they brought their kids to work and the kids did the editing for the deer eating? Because maybe then we could be like, hey guys, good parenting job. But guys, it didn't work very well. Because guys, before the deer even started eating, right, the deer eating was a horrible, you guys both started reacting to that. But before that, I kept going, whenever the deer was making a stepping motion, the sound that was playing, it was trying to do like a wooden porch sound, but it sounded like a goddamn glass bell jar being like, don't. It was like this weird glass tippy sound. Right. Like they don't know how to just, that's what a hoof on, it's just my knuckle on a piece of wood. That's all it needed to be.
Hey there. A little lost? Tell me about it.
Well, the Browns get home, the doors open. It's kind of a tense, creepy moment. Who's in there? Is there criminals? Is there a murderer?
Yeah.
It ends up being a deer.
God, what if it had been a murderer and this turned into a murderer show? I would have been really excited.
That would be very cool.
I would have been like five stars across
the
board.
That would
have
been like you in season
episode.
One, episode 7 of The Leftovers, where you're like, oh, I'm so excited about this show now.
You guys were watching The Leftovers.
Which was 5 episodes before a deer broke into their house.
Right. Exactly.
Andy says, stay back. It might have a gun. It's very cute. Mindy the next morning puts ice cream in his coffee because there's no milk. That's very cute. Delia says, you forgot to buy juice too. And he says, eat your cookie. That's very cute.
Those cookies were huge. Those cookies were huge.
They were enormous.
They were too big. You could fit like two of those on a pan. And she said she made a batch too big. How long was she cooking those cookies?
And how much sugar is her son getting?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
What is her son's name? Nina and...
Tito.
I'm such a bad fan.
Tom. Tom Garvey.
No. What's the Leftovers? Favorite show. This is not a Leftovers podcast.
Why are we doing that Leftovers podcast?
So Ephraim is gonna let animal control take the deer, but he doesn't because they're just gonna drop the deer off at some place where it can basically just get killed by hunters. So Ephraim feels the need to, he feels called, feels called, his own version of Andy's psychotic destiny to take the deer home. We got a little couple fish out of water sequence with Andy and
what that was the first moment of bizarre music, right? It was like it was like a goofy movie music. Boing, yoing, yoing, yoing. Like what the hell was happening in that scene?
I had the blues so bad one time it put my face in a permanent frown. Now I'm feeling so much better. I can cakewalk in the town.
Suddenly everyone is being something else entirely.
That was very funny.
I like the music though. I like it.
All right. All right, Adam.
It all culminates in a tearful embrace over the loss of home.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote in my notes. Predictable.
Yeah. But yes.
I didn't expect them to get somewhere and it be a fucking burnout forest. Like I did not expect that.
Oh, I didn't expect it to be burnt out, but I honestly was thinking they were going to fail because I knew that this was about,
I don't know if they were going to fail
loss
or not.
And stuff. And he was trying to place this animal somewhere. That was all I didn't know what was going to happen, but I wasn't entirely surprised that it wasn't there intact or something. Not like intact. I definitely didn't think it was like a burned out shell, but I mean, I thought maybe they'd be like, we closed. I'm sorry. We can't manage the land anymore or something like that. Like I thought that.
No, I did not. I don't know. I obviously, as soon as Ephraim was like, I'm going to go take a hike in the wilderness, I'm like, oh, okay, this is a bonding experience for him and his dad before his dad even said that. Yeah. So that I predicted, but.
Yeah.
I think overall, like it is a predictable kind of beat in the overarching like arc of Andy and Ephraim have to kind of repair their relationship. And
yeah.
This is like a stop on that highway. And that's, it's nice. Gregory Smith gets to kind of cry and do his thing. It's fine, I think.
She was supposed to be safe here. She can't survive in this. Damn it!
It's okay, Ephraim.
No, it's not. Where's she gonna go now, huh? What's she gonna do now?
We'll hike a mile up. We'll find another patch in the reserve.
No, that isn't her home. All I wanted to do was bring her home.
You did, Ephraim. It's just gone.
This is where she belongs.
Well, she'll do what we did. She'll find a new home.
Our home is in New York. Our home was with Mom.
It was. But she's gone now. We can't go back. We left New York because there was nothing left for us anymore. And from what you're hanging on to is this.
I just want to go back.
I know. Me too.
Yeah.
Gregory Smith gets to cry.
Also, I'm looking up here. If I can't find the exact variety of deer, but if it's, I think it might be a type of mule deer. I might be wrong. Listeners, okay. Correct me if I am. But I'm just curious. I was
Parker,
just curious.
Correct him.
Yeah, Parker. But I was just wondering if that deer is still alive. And it says mule deer have lived up to 25 years in captivity. So it actually might be.
Maybe. Oh. We could have the deer. Because
that's
on
not
the
a
podcast.
Wild deer. They dragged that deer.
You sure get to the podcast.
Yeah.
A deer in Ephraim fucked.
Yes. Man.
I like the idea that this Everwood podcast just gradually transforms into a weird sex podcast.
I mean, how could it not?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think that that's what everyone's mm-hmm. expecting. Here we go.
Yep, Edna attached her sidecar in this one. While Delia watched.
Stop it! Stop it! Oh my God.
Ephraim gets to give a little speech to the deer.
Okay, Bambi. I know this isn't your old home, but it looks doable to me. Then again, I used to go to school above 96th Street. Anyway, there's no hunting up here. Now, I'd love to tell you that everything's going to be okay. That's what everyone told me, but it's just not. You can stay here, you can go back. Either way, it's going to suck. But I figure, at least when it sucks, you know you're alive. I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's okay when everything sucks. It means you're somewhere.
At least when it sucks, you know you're alive. Whatever. Okay.
Fine. It's so bad. You know what? Has TV and movies and just theater and everything forever been ruined for me? Because I feel like watching that scene, just I was like, this poor kid is just trying to talk to a fucking deer. Like, this actor, the yeah. actor, like, was trying to look at a deer. Except a deer has eyes on opposite sides of its fucking head, yeah. practically. And uh-huh. he's trying to talk to this deer like, hey, deer.
But also,
I'm a teenage actor and this is very difficult.
You realize he's not even looking at a deer, though, when he's delivering that. If you're talking about the filming of it, he's just looking at nothing, probably.
What? There's a deer there. They have a real deer.
Yes. The shot of him was just his face.
No, they were in the same shot.
From like the speech.
Eric, yes. Boo.
Yeah,
boo,
deer are very easy. They're like such an easy animal to have in a movie.
There's no way he could look the deer in the eye after that night.
That's true. They had to CGI him in because of what had happened. Oh man. But for real, like I couldn't yeah. watch that scene. Like he did a great job.
Yeah.
But the whole time I was like, this poor kid is like, okay, what ear, what eye, where do I, nose?
I'm like that when I talk to people.
Yes,
so.
I know you are.
I think the deer did do a great job.
Yes, the deer did a great job.
Can you imagine actually, first of all, hiking that far, period, when yes. you don't know how to hike,
yes.
up the whatever elevations you're talking
it
about in Colorado,
so
that's
hard.
Impossible,
yep.
first of all, those people. Mm-hmm. And then dragging a deer.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Like what? The deer is
but
not just going
to
be.
Was very excited to go along with them the whole time.
Yeah, because it was,
it was
a mule deer that can live up to 25 years, not a deer that has a lifespan of 10 years. It is
right.
not. Dragging a wild doe
yes.
through the woods. What a nightmare.
Well, I just came up with a second sponsor for tonight's episode.
Oh, okay.
This week's episode brought to you by Chekhov's Flare Guns. Come on down to Chekhov's Flare Guns.
Yep.
You see the flare guns in the window, and then you come inside, and the flare guns are still there, and they go off.
Yep.
Parker, you can edit this bit.
Oh. No, don't. Don't you dare. Let's make it really tied to whatever else we say, Adam. Adam
you
just said a weird
it.
Joke. Adam just said
no,
a weird
no,
joke.
No.
Adam just said a weird joke. Adam just said a weird joke.
I like right. that it was in a Ziploc bag.
I'm Chekhov. You know me. I'm Mr. Chekhov. I opened a flare gun store in Everwood, Colorado years ago. It's kind of an Italian flare gun store. / also Chinese flare gun.
Ah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, really, Parker, edit all of that.
No, don't you dare. Don't you dare,
but
Parker.
I do
don't you
like
the flare gun.
That the flare gun was in a Ziploc bag.
Oh, yeah.
I actually
yes.
like that.
Yes.
Because it's authentic.
Yes, absolutely. Ziploc bags.
Most show would be like, here's this big orange gun I'm going to hand to you. It's a cool prop we could use. Be like, here's it. But has it in a bag.
Busted Ziploc bag. It was like a, you know, when you use a Ziploc to the point where it gets a little cloudy. Yes, it was perfect.
I love whoever the prop guy is for that.
That was perfect. Definite good prop design.
Is that in the art department?
Probably.
Well, he should be.
Russell Simmons is the foreman of the art department. Michelle Fairbank was the assistant property master. Right. Shane Fuhlner was the gang boss. What the fuck is a gang boss?
Well, we'll get to that in a future episode of Everwood.
Of fucking deer.
Ian Roy Lance was the property master. So Ian and Michelle... Well done.
Yeah, good job.
With your cloudy Ziploc. No, but seriously, very authentic. That is how Irv would give someone a flare gun. Absolutely.
Irv the Perv. Is what he will become to be known as. in the Everwood Sex Podcast.
Everwood.
All right, so what else is there to talk about? We got to talk about Dr. Abbott. We already said he's the favorite part of the episode. He's always going to be our favorite part of every episode.
Pretty much. with his fucking theme song.
Oh, wait, before we get to that, we've got one of my favorite lines. This was one of my AOL Instant Messenger away messages.
Ooh, you know it's good.
It was Ephraim's line, I know this. Whoops. Hold on, cut that, Parker.
I know this. Whoops.
He said... I knew this town had an underbelly, but I had no idea about the annals.
It's pretty good.
He was thinking about annals, though.
Yeah, he was. He didn't know it was coming.
What are we doing?
Why was Dr. Abbott's secretary or nurse or whatever she is, maybe both, why was she so nervous when he came in? When it was revealed what she was freaking out about, it's just a patient's been waiting.
Yeah.
Gerald is an abusive boss.
Yeah, clearly. But like, it was seemed too much.
It was weird because it felt like there was someone important that he was going to embarrass himself by. That's what it felt like.
He was going to ignore her. She wasn't going to actually say it. He was going to say something terrible,
and there was going to be a problem because of it. Yeah.
But it was just like, there's a patient in a room with the door closed.
Yes.
That's been waiting.
I think it breaks protocol for somebody to be let into his office like before he is there for the day. You know?
I don't know.
And also, they needed to have a patient present for the punchline of, oh, I just got an award for best service.
I'm leaving.
Oh, a patient? You deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I just, comedically wise, I didn't get the payoff I was expecting with her being so.
I guess you could try to be like, hey, it was like subverting expectations because this is a very common, but I don't think it was trying to. You're sniggering because I don't think it was trying to either. I think it was just an awkward setup.
Louise is just constantly like nervous.
Yeah, which you would be.
Her character. It's kind of like Bradley Whitford's character and Jenna Maroney's character. Jenna Maroney? Is that her name? That's a 30 Rock character.
That's Jenna on 30 Rock, yeah.
About the West Wing.
Oh, never seen it.
It reminds me of that. Anyway, so Dr. Abbott's getting an award for being a good doctor. He says to Louise, though your pantomime grows more eloquent by the day.
Yeah.
How about we just use your words? Funny, very sarcastic, but he's also an abusive boss.
Oh, totally.
Be amused by. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. Amy calls the award an attendance award, which is...
Sounds accurate.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a great line about, like, you know, he talks about his relationship. No, Amy's like... You totally have a boy crush on Dr. Brown.
Uh-huh.
He's like, it's not a boy crush. It is a crusade to protect him and this town from the potentially dangerous results of his dementia.
Yep.
And I loathe him.
Yep. So it was so good. I loved that.
Her sitting at her totally early 2000s computer.
Uh-huh.
And of course, we see that Dr. Abbott... The most important thing to him is that Andy sees this article in the Everwood Pinecone Mm-hmm. And so when he finds out that Andy is not in town because they went on a little deer fucking hike with his son.
How dare you?
You think Andy's not also fucking the deer? You don't think Andy never...
Oh, he totally care? Was. Sorry. Okay. I was pretending to be offended.
Oh, our listeners. Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, if there are ever any reviews of this podcast, it'll be like, jump the shark in episode 5, when suddenly these... We thought Adam was I thought Adam was a bona fide Everwood fan. Turns out he's just some weird deer fucking joke making enthusiast. Oh god.
Sorry to ruin your plans.
I really like so Dr. Abbott decides that he will buy all the newspapers so that he can throw those away and have it all reprinted, I guess. Maybe not the same stories, but at least his story.
Yeah.
I love that scene where he and Amy are getting rid of the newspapers. It's really sweet.
I cannot believe you bought a million papers no one reads anyways, just to make sure no one would read them. You know you're insane, right?
Amy, don't diagnose your father.
Okay. I'll visit Colin tomorrow.
What are you reading him these days?
Jack London's Justice League.
You want me to give you a lift up there?
You don't think it's crazy? Spend all your free time reading to someone you're not even sure can hear you?
If you told me you go because you feel obligated, I'd say yes. That's fairly unhealthy. But you go because you miss him. That's all that matters. That said, it would be nice to see you go out once in a while.
I thought that was Mom's thing.
Your mother harps on you to go out more often because she doesn't want to see you miserable. I'm saying it because I don't ever want to see you feel guilty for having a life. Now, Colin was never so happy as when you were laughing. As far as being crazy, I won't call anyone crazy if you don't.
It is, nice. And he's all goofy.
He's more of a human. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know who he reminded me of in that scene?
Michael.
Yep.
I swear
Adam
to God.
Adam doesn't know who that is.
I know, but the physicality was insane. That's so funny that you say that. That was my ex-fiance. Ah, hi, Michael. Michael listens to this podcast already.
He's our only listener.
Tell me about Michael.
Yep. Yeah, he looked... It was weird. Like, it was because he is built like Michael, yeah. But also his physicality. He's a slender kind
like
of...
Like him throwing the...
Non-athletic the dude.
Papers up
yes,
into that bin.
Absolutely.
It was so reminded
it
me
was
of him.
Absolutely, well, Michael. It was
future
weird.
Future guest of the podcast, Tom Amandy's impersonator, Michael. It's Everwood.
Oh my god.
Guys, the season finale of this podcast is gonna be crazy.
It's a great scene. Yeah, all these guests.
Just have a deer randomly screaming in the background.
The deer. that seems another great opportunity to see how good of a father Dr. Abbott
yes.
is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Be, which is awesome.
Because it still reminds me of that other episode where he, that's still one of my favorite moments when he was lecturing mm-hmm. Andy on how to
being
be a parent. And then
stern.
The first thing he did was go over and hug his daughter. Uh-huh. Very yeah. cute. Was, he's adorable. Very yeah.
That scene ends with him like doing a little weird basketball shot with the
newspaper. Yep.
Yes, and failing. He's so great. I love that.
And at the end, y'all, it's really sweet that Amy, so like he doesn't get any messages from Dr. Brown.
Yeah.
But he does get a little framed, the article framed by Amy. And that's a sweet moment that kind of, you know, shows like, who is he really? Who should he really be wanting to impress?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
who does want to be proud of him?
Yeah,
I think his daughter.
Nope.
Andy. No, the deer. The deer.
The deer. Oh man.
Oh, Edna's line. If you ask me to babysit again, you'll meet God. That was very the episode winking at us, huh?
Yeah.
He did an episode about God.
Should have said you're have venison our... God.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, why didn't they?
I don't know. Maybe because they wanted us to understand what she said.
That's a shitty reason.
Yep.
Future guest of the podcast, Michael Green, writer of this episode. Why didn't you make a venison joke? Green would go on to write episodes of Raising Dion, American Gods. Oh, wow. He really likes writing about God, doesn't he? After Everwood, he worked on Heroes.
Oh.
Michael Green, you're canceled. Line.
Yep.
Maybe that's why Everwood was canceled. And Heroes.
Yep.
And Raising Dion or whatever. I'm assuming it was canceled.
This is a good moment, I thought, at the end with Andy and Ephraim, where Andy's... Well, he talked earlier in the episode about, like, the need to kind of be in control.
Yeah.
And he's kind of identifying that as, like, I struggle with this, and it's making things bad now. It's ruining everything. And then at the end, there's a little, like, father, like, son thing with Ephraim finally does ask his father, just how out of the brain business are you? And admits, like, yeah, Amy asked me to ask you to look at Colin a while back. And it leads to that nice line by Andy. It runs in the family, I guess, trying to control everything. Sorry. That's how he says it. Weird acting choice by Treat Williams when he's suddenly like, sorry.
KT would probably be better if he talked like that the whole time.
KT. Before that. Treat Williams, talk different ways.
So sad, because Adam, you know that I have been following Treat Williams on Twitter now. Do you understand? With every sweet, funny little tweet he makes, it makes me feel terrible about every single other fucking thing I've said on this podcast. But I'm sorry, Treat. What the fuck?
I will say this.
It's so.
Do you know what happened that made his voice like that?
Are you sucked a deer's? Yep, I was.
You guys are disgusting. Oh my god. I don't think I could be on this show anymore.
You knew exactly where I was going.
Of course.
So you know who wasn't in this episode?
Right. Oh,
Chris Pratt.
Yep.
He was mentioned.
Fuck that
guy. He was mentioned. He did not show up.
Nope.
This now time for KT's segment. Prattling on. It's Prattling On with KT, talking about how Chris Pratt is
a Pratt,
a baddie.
I will say this time that I'm very excited about, like, this forward movement of just, like, everyone just kind of being grossed out by Chris Pratt. It's making me super excited.
Mm-hmm. In the news recently.
Yes.
We're recording this near the end of October, and he has been in the news, people trying to cancel Chris Pratt.
Cancel, blah, blah, blah. I just like the movement of, like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? He's the worst of the Chrises. Yes, I have said that for so long. Yes, he is. My goodness. He sucks. In this case, people are starting to suspect that he's, like, a Trump supporter and stuff, which isn't really, I guess, based on... Oh, here we go, right in the middle of my rant. Alarm going off. But anyway, people are... saying that he might be a Trump supporter, which, you know, his fucking problem. Here's the problem with fucking Chris Pratt, you guys. Here's the fucking problem with Chris Pratt. He portrays himself. He presents himself to the world as this, like, all-American. Hey, guys. Hey. Hey, why can't we all get along? You know, why don't we go hunting? Why don't we go to church? I'm Chris Pratt. I'm fucking annoying as fuck. He presents himself as this fucking, like, all-American good boy. But really... he's so fucking privileged. Like, and I'm not somebody who uses that word a lot. I do not use the word white privilege. I don't use privilege a lot. I'm not an overuser of privilege, but goddamn if this guy is not the goddamn pinnacle of that. Anything that could possibly be negative associated with him, he's just always like, hey guys, like, what, you know, why can't I just, like, you know, worship the Christ and be, like, cool with the Christ and shooting things in the face? Like, why, hey guys? Guys, I'm funny. Like, it's so irritating. It's so false seeming and gross and, like, totally from a place of, like, hey, I've never had to experience anything bad. So, you know, why is everyone in an uproar about these things? I'm always like, chill, dude, chill. Guys, it's all fine. Guys, come on. Back me up on this. Chris Pratt sucks.
Chris Pratt sucks.
Chris Pratt sucks.
Prattling On with KT.
I definitely prattled on.
With KT. Chris Pratt can go suck a deer's pussy.
Yeah.
It's funny that you brought up that you said like the thing about like, let's all go hunting. Like yeah. I, while watching Dear God, I was like, when they let the deer go finally, I was like, wouldn't it be hilarious if Bright shows up in the deer? You just got the camera pans over, and Bright's like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That may
just
have happened.
It was just captured in the background. It's like the Wizard of Oz, you know, when people are like, you could see a person hanging himself. In this, you just see Chris Pratt. It's not the character that he's playing. It's just fucking Chris Pratt in the woods shooting the deer as it wanders off set. That's what happened. I choose to believe that that is what happened. This lovely little deer, it's well-trained. It's been like 20 years in the training of this 25-year-old deer. And then Chris Pratt just shoots it in the face. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, guys, I don't understand what's going on. Sorry, guys. I know Chris Prattling On is ending. Or Chris Prattling On, I just called it.
Whatever. It's over. It's done.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Future guest of the podcast, Chris Pratt, you have got a lot to say for yourself. You've got some explaining to do, Chris Pratt.
Fucking guy.
Dr. Abbott's saying to Ephraim, who shows up at his door, remain outside, please.
Oh, God! Remain outside. It was a command just with the remain. One word and then the slightly longer pause. God, that was amazing. So it was so good.
You!
Yeah,
I was saying I greeted him.
Just you. You.
I love Dr. Abbott / Ephraim interactions. They are the best.
Why do you look like you were about to vomit? Because I might, I think is what he said. Yeah.
I do love when Dr. Abbott's like, so did your father say anything about
newspaper?
And he's like, very I don't cute. Think so, but he's doesn't really do the pine cone. And just this small repeated like,
yep.
Oh.
And that was it.
So funny. Oh my God.
So that has been Dear God, everybody. Wow. Everyone's God episode. Perhaps its weakest, but still amazing because it's everyone. we should do the ratings.
Okay.
My rating, beforehand going into it, I had fond memories of the of this episode.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't give a shit. That's why I'm making you guys watch it, is because I need somebody to break me out of this bullshit. Everyone love that I have.
Adam's goal is to hate this show by the end of it.
Oh, that's why he keeps saying he likes my energy on the show. No,
that's exactly what I need. That's exactly what I want. I would say like a 5 going into it. And I'd say a 4 watching and a 4 afterwards, because I totally agree with you guys' assessment that it doesn't really cover any new ground per se. Even for 2002. I don't think it was doing anything particularly amazing. I do still love the characters. I appreciate kind of the journeys that they're on, but not the best Everwood has to offer. Yeah. 5/4
Okay.
You guys, how about you guys?
I'm going to say 5 going into it, because I wanted to be so right about my prediction about it being a hunting trip. 3 watching for the stuff we've talked about in terms of just the experience. Not only exploring new topics just as a society, but also I don't even know how much it really forwarded anything in the story. I guess Ephraim and Andy had their moment, but they've been kind of been just having moments and then afterwards 5, because we really got to explore like what maybe happened with that deer.
You picked up on the subtext afterwards.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Good. 5 going into it, because it's been like 3 weeks since we saw Everwood and I was really excited to watch it. When I was watching it, I would say like 4 sliding into 3, because I was saddened by, I was kind of just kind of like not super happy about it. And I'll say 3 at the end too, because like I was sad that when we started talking about it, none of us really knew what to say.
I was like, let's just get through the notes, I guess.
Like, I didn't, that's the thing. Like, I didn't have a lot to say, so it was awkward. So that's why it's a three afterwards. However, I am six waiting for the next episode because I'm excited to see. I am always going to be perpetually excited to see why Adam loves this show, because so far, obviously, there are some wonderful things about it. And
you know what?
I
also think a big thing this was missing, and why we talked about the one thing that we were most, one of the things we're most excited about, is just developing this world that they're in.
Yes.
Like the different things that we've, like this kissing bridge thing and the fall fest or whatever, the fall. Like those are the cool, like exciting things. Yeah. And this was like the newspaper, like that guy in the pine cone. Yep. Like that was the coolest thing about, like,
and
that
that's
we
why we
about.
Liked that part of the story too, besides the fact that we love the doctor. Yeah. But you know, yeah, it's
100%.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
But yeah, like none of it got real bad. It's never going to get real. Well, I guess it could get really bad, but so far, no.
I don't vouch for anything past season one.
Uh-oh.
I don't think anything in season one gets really bad, but we will see.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So next week's episode is titled The Doctor Is In, which seems like such a generic, like, okay.
That could have been the pilot episode title.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But, what are your guesses about what The Doctor Is In is about?
It's Treat Williams going to see the coma patient. Guys, I don't know anyone's name.
That's got to happen sooner than later. He said he was going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's got to be.
The Doctor Is In.
You're right.
Yeah.
You think Dr. Brown's going to go see Colin? All right.
It's a long trip. We've established that. It's far away.
Six episodes in, and we're finally going to get some the ball rolling on some Colin action.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of exciting.
Yep.
In case I forget to bring this up next time we record after we watch The Doctor's In, remind me that we should mention the director of next week's episode.
Oh.
Can you write that down to remind me to talk about it? Or should I just say it now? Next week's episode, directed by
Steven Spielberg.
Wrong Steven. Steven Gyllenhaal, the father of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Really?
Gyllenhaal.
Wow, I didn't know that he was a director.
I didn't know he existed.
I didn't know. Who knew?
I mean, I assumed he existed.
Who knew where Jake Gyllenhaal came from? Nobody knew.
Future guest of the podcast, Steven Gyllenhaal. he will be joining us at our next recording session to talk about The Doctor Is In.
That's appropriate. I mean, that should be the one he joins us on.
I
100% promise this is not a bit. I'm going to get Steven Gyllenhaal to be on the podcast.
Okay.
And if he doesn't join us in the next recording session, you guys can find it here to fuck me. All right, that's it. Let's take it out. What do we usually do? Do we do anything?
Oh no, it's been too long.
At least once we've done the theme together.
Do 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 do. So mad. Do 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 do. You know what? That's, we needed to be like rollicking more. It's got way of a more like like a galloping pace.
No,
that's it. If you want rollicking Everwood theme, just wait for season three.
Oh no,
it's bullshit.
Oh no.
All right, we'll do it. Just cut it, Parker. Cut it here.
Cut.